Some things to look for in the government's big jobs report in just over an hour and a half.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the first Friday of September. Other than about 110 days until Christmas, this means we'll get the government's closely watched jobs report later this morning. It covers August. The people paid to forecast these things expect no big change, but if that's not the case, markets could move sharply. Among the data already available, private payrolls increased by just over 200,000 in August, according to ADP, and the gains were distributed across many industries. Michael Gritton runs the Workforce Investment Board in Louisville, Kentucky. Looking back to the Great Recession, he's pleased with the economic progress he's seen.
We went from 550,000 people to 600,000 people working, and the unemployment rate has dropped from 10 to 6.8. The thing we're struggling with is we have hundreds and hundreds of IT jobs that are now open that we're struggling to fill.
National numbers like these will be cold comfort in some parts of the country, including eastern Kentucky, where coal mining's in decline, and California's Central Valley, Nevada, and parts of the rural South, plus Detroit, where unemployment rates are well above the national average. Now let's check the live numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.2% now. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down ahead of that jobs report. Nearly a quarter of a million newly naturalized American citizens or immigrants may lose their health insurance coverage under the federal reform law at the end of this month. The government is trying to verify people's identities and immigration status. Today, as in today, is the deadline to submit paperwork. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein reports.
There are only so many ways immigrants can reach out, says a frustrated Jenny Rajeski.
People have mailed in their documents by certified mail, who have also tried to upload their documents online.
Rajeski, who works with the National Immigration Law Center, says people are hustling to confirm eligibility. Despite that, immigrants and naturalized citizens keep getting termination notices. Rajeski says this is an old story for the Obama administration.
It's just been part of the whole array of technical problems that healthcare.gov has faced.
Sonia Schwartz with the Georgetown Health Policy Institute also faults a lack of thorough planning. Why, wonder Schwartz, were most notices in English?
It should have been a higher priority to think about how to communicate to all the different people in America, not just in English.
Apart from interrupting people's health coverage, Schwartz says basic problems like this have a chilling effect on the millions who remain uninsured. The federal government says it's whittled down the immigration cases by nearly 75%. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The Department of Health and Human Services is now saying hackers got into the healthcare.gov computers this summer. Officials say no personal data was accessed, but they did find malicious software planted of the sort that could stall the website if activated. And today, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that Visa and MasterCard are coming out with a system in which you turn over a unique code number when you use your credit card to buy things instead of the credit card number itself. This will mean that merchants will get this token and won't have your actual credit card and expiration info on file. This is called tokenization, and it means that hackers won't find much of value if they infiltrate a store's computers. Culture of Business Story on this Friday morning. California's Silicon Valley is known for its sometimes forced iconoclasm, from the turtleneck shirts at board meetings on down. Now, this applies to job titles as well, which employees can sometimes choose themselves. Marketplace's Queena Kim reports.
In the tech world, it's not uncommon to meet a princess.
Hi, my name is Parisa DeVries, and I am a security princess at Google.
To prove it, she shows me her business card.
So, Security Princess is my self-appointed title. My actual job title is the engineering manager for the Chrome security team. But I figured Security Princess was just more fun.
And much more Silicon Valley. It's sort of like a tradition here, at least when companies are starting up, to let employees choose their titles. Not their real titles, but the ones they put on their business card.
This is my last business card when I worked at Apple. And it says Guy Kawasaki, Chief Evangelist.
And who gave you that title?
I took that title. I assumed that title.
Kawasaki says choosing your title, even if it's one on your business card, encourages you to think big about your job. Take Kawasaki's title, evangelist. He says when Apple was introducing the Macintosh in the mid-80s, in addition to salespeople, it needed somebody to sell the idea that personal computing would change their lives.
Evangelism is seeing your product or service as a way to change the world, and you want to bring this good news to people.
Kawasaki left Apple in the 90s, and since then, techies have introduced all sorts of titles. Scott Brosnan is a recruiter at Workbridge Associates, and he says he's come across some zingers.
We have a Ruby on Rails rock star, software ninja, data wrangler I see a lot now.
You can probably tell by his tone, Brosnan isn't too impressed by these titles. But he says like wearing jeans and t-shirts to work, when tech companies allow employees to choose their titles, they're saying, we're not corporate types, we're creatives. Keith Rolog teaches management at Babson College, and he says there's data that shows that this can make employees happier.
There was a study recently done by two researchers at Wharton and one from the London Business School.
They went into a healthcare company and let some of the employees define their title.
And what they found was it actually reduced people's feelings of job exhaustion, and it reduced the stress they felt while they were on the job.
Rolog says those employees felt empowered to redefine their jobs in ways that felt more meaningful. In San Francisco, I'm Queen Akim, the Queen of Marketplace.
All right, then you can just call me David of the House Brancaccio, first of my name, the rightful king of the Marketplace Morning Report, Lord of the Seven Kingdoms, and protector of the realm. Or just David's fine. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.